challenges of setting up or making sure the Bible is flat and the water bottle's balanced and the sound is on. So check, check, check. We're ready to go. Well, let me open our time together in prayer, and then I'll share with you what I believe God's really laid on my heart to share with us all today. So let's begin our time in prayer. God of the glorious global gospel, we thank you for the chance to know you personally through our Lord Jesus Christ, how he lived a perfect, sinless life, fulfilling all righteousness, living a valiant and courageous life in the body, then died for sin in our place so that we could have sin removed from our life, no barriers between us and you, and know you personally and fully. And thank you, Lord, that he rose again from the dead, and where our resurrected Lord is, we will be also, and that we now live in the fullness and the power of that resurrected Christ. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us and inspiring us, sending us to carry out the mission of our Master. Thank you for your word, Lord, that gives us guidance about carrying out the Master's mandate. And from the bottom of my heart, I pray today that through what I have to share at this time, on this occasion, from these passages, that you would use your word in your church to glorify your Son for your purposes. I pray that as a result of our time together, the fame of Jesus' name would increase in our lives and the world around us. We ask your help and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is what we call the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Have you heard these terms before, some of you? If you haven't, by the end, you are going to know them. But I have a hunch that many of you have a lot of experience with these terms. Just to check in with you, this is audience participation part. How many of you have ever heard a talk or a sermon or a Bible study or read any Christian teaching on the Great Commandment? Just put your hand up. Great. How many of you have given a talk or led a Bible study on the Great Commandment? Yeah, lots. Let's do the same kind of check-in on the other side. So how many of you have heard Christian teaching on the Great Commission before? Lots, great. And the same question again. How many of you ever have given a talk or a sermon or led a Bible study or written an article or something on the Great Commission? Great. So for those of you listening online all over the world, a lot of hands went up. There's a lot of people in this room who have heard the Great Commandment and the Great Commission before. And that makes sense. For those of you who haven't heard about the Great Commandment or the Great Commission, what that really is it's two main quotes and emphases from Jesus about what he wants the church to be about, what he believes the purpose of the church really is in the world. And it's very abstract in the sense they're very big quotes, very beautiful, powerful, high-level quotes, and they have a million ways of being expressed in individual lives and churches all around the world. But on this occasion, I thought it would be a really appropriate time to just gather ourselves around the Great Commandment and the Great Commission and remind ourselves of these main quotes from Jesus about the purpose of the church. Now, why this occasion? Well, there's a few reasons for reminding ourselves of this at this occasion. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission are relevant to remind ourselves at this time because, as you may or may not know, I'm candidating to be the teaching pastor here. This is my second round of visiting with you. And I wanted to be able to share with you some of the verses that are so central to my spiritual DNA that I can then tell you a bit about what matters to me in my walk with God, but also likely would connect with you and remind you of what the central kind of DNA of a church and a personal walk with God is really all about, which is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And why on this occasion is not only because I'm here candidating, it gives me a chance to sort of explain what I see as main message of Jesus stuff, but it also is the time when we have our, you know, you're saying there's the AGM and there's an S&S, which is Sandwich Sunday, and all kinds of other things going on. But it's a very natural time with the AGM and Christmas coming up, and it's a really natural time, I think a timely reminder of some of the most important things Jesus has to say about what Christians should be about and what churches should be about. Christmas is a wonderful time for living out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, for inviting people and so on. And the AGM is a natural time to reflect on what the church has done, what it's all about. I'm going to be interested to listen. But it's a natural time because it might be a natural time to sort of look ahead and at next year, would there be a measurable difference in our personal and corporate church in our great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission? So that's what I want to talk to you about, and that's why I want to talk to you about it now. So I'll start with the Great Commandment. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew 22. So Matthew 22 is where you'll find one portion of Scripture that handles the Great Commandment. I love sharing these verses. As many of you have heard many talks about these and given many, so have I. These are very central. And in fact, when I first became a Christian, I came to Christ through Athletes in Action, a campus ministry, actually a sports ministry that works at all levels. But I was a varsity athlete playing football at the University of Western Ontario, and people came and shared the gospel with us, and it just, my eyes opened up, and I really felt the call of God to follow Jesus Christ through the gospel, and it was a very powerful time. And very quickly, very early in my discipleship, I was trained that these verses are what are really biggest on God's heart. If you want to live a life that pleases God, these are verses you need to know. If you want to serve God, these are verses you need to know. These are sort of the first thoughts to plant in the spiritual DNA of somebody that is really going to grow and live for Christ. So these are wonderful early verses for me, but they've been a path through my whole life and probably for you as well. So Matthew 22, I invite you to turn there, join me there. In verse 34 is where it starts. And in this section, we have Jesus defending and explaining himself on a number of different issues. And on this one, he's asked to kind of summarize what the most important teaching of the law is. And this is what he says. Matthew 22, 34 through 40 says this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Then he said to him, meaning Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is really not creating something new here. What he's doing is summarizing the existing main message of the Hebrew Scriptures. There was a sort of a fun thing that, I don't know if it was a fun thing, but it was sort of a game that rabbis would play. They would test each other to see if they could sum up what the core message of the Scriptures were. And they would ask them to stand on one leg, and you'd have to be able to summarize it while standing on one leg. It had to be brief enough that you could summarize it while standing on one leg. And for some people, that's easier than others. But Jesus was able to summarize very briefly what the main message of God was to his people. And it was summarized by putting together two quotes, one from Deuteronomy 6, the Shema prayer. Have you ever heard that, the Shema prayer? It's in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6, where it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Quote. Then the second one is from Leviticus, ironically enough, where in Leviticus 19:19. There's instruction about how to live as God's people, and it talks for a great section about love, the importance of loving your neighbor. And in that case, it meant loving your neighbor in the community of faith and how to how to love them through living justly and resolving conflict and dealing in fair wages and so on. So Jesus summarizes the law, the most important things, as sort of one command with two parts. Love God, love your neighbor. As we showed earlier, many people know this. The main thing that Jesus says Christians are supposed to do in living out an obedient life of serving God is to love God and love others. And that's a good place to start. I know certainly that's what I want my life to be about. I would like it to be true of me that the main thing that I'm about when it comes to my relationship with God and others is that I seek to live a life where I am known to love God and love others. Does that go for you too? Does that go for you too? You know, we checked in a little bit on this, and I talked about how, you know, when I came to Christ early, this was one of the main verses that I heard right through my life, and probably for you the same thing. But you know what happens sometimes when you get a thought early and you try to trace it through? You know, maybe this is true. I've been in ministry long enough to know that it's true for many people. Is that walking a line of faith of trying to love God and love others isn't this sort of linear, stable line. It's not even a line of progress. It has its ups and downs. And you know, is it possible that anyone here today finds themselves more loving of God and people than when they first came to Christ? Was there an increase there? Yeah, probably. Probably dips and doodles along the way. But I think that's massively encouraging that as we're growing in our faith, we're becoming more loving to God and more loving to others. And I think that pleases Jesus when he sees you doing that and me doing that. I also know it's very possible at this time, you know, we're approaching Christmas. Maybe this is a natural time of reflection and so on, the AGM, and it is a natural time to reflect. I also realize it's possible that as a church, as individuals, it's a time for me to check in with myself as well. Perhaps I'm not as loving to God and others as Jesus might have me be. And perhaps there's others in this room who could share that reflective question. You know, as you look back from maybe when you came to Christ and the journey you've been on, maybe right now you're not higher in your love for God, love for others. Maybe you're lower. And maybe this is a season to ask God to forgive you for maybe a coldness of heart or whatever that has come in that maybe has made your love for God and love for others. Maybe your heart's not as loving as it could be or should be as an individual or as a church. I think it's a really natural time to reflect on the Great Commandment, to understand it, and to recommit ourselves individually and as a group to making the main thing, which is loving God and loving others. Of course, no one can check each other's heart, but I'm just going to give a moment of pause and let us just think about that and think, Lord, where is my heart on my love for you and love for others? Because this is very important to him. And so we'll pause for a moment of reflection there. I invite you just to lay your heart bare before the Lord. If you need to ask his forgiveness or repentance or repent of things in order to be more loving to God and others, that's great. Maybe it's an opportunity to thank him for how he has made you loving to him and to others. Let's pause for one clock minute there and allow you to reflect on these verses, and then I'll continue on and we'll press on. Lord Jesus, we together in this moment thank you for your word and your statement that the summary of all the law and the prophets and your call on your people is this, that we would love God and love others. And it's so simple. We can assume that we can do it on our own, but we really can't. We need your grace to empower us, your Spirit to fill us, to be loving of you and loving of others. And at this moment, we want to thank you for how you've empowered us and enabled us to be loving to others and to you. And we ask your help as we commit ourselves to being the kind of people you want us to be, individually and collectively. Lord, we commit ourselves to the calling of the great commandment. Amen. And for those of you who have never heard that before, and let me just show you how broad this theme runs all through the New Testament. So this is not just one quote that scholars and pastors have decided to say, this is a big deal. This runs as a main theme all through the New Testament. Let me just hit a few highlights for you. So in Matthew 5:43, it's mentioned. In Matthew 19:19, it's mentioned. Yeah, if someone can flip there and read Matthew 5:43, that would be great. And if someone else could find Matthew 19:19, that would be great. And you'll see that this is repeated even in Jesus' message, even within the Gospel of Matthew, this importance of loving God, loving our neighbors. Please share when you're ready. And can you continue on from there? Great. So love your neighbors, pray for your enemies. It's part of Jesus' teaching. Could someone please, if you have it, Matthew 19:19? So again, an emphasis of Jesus all the way through. Very important. This is also mentioned in Mark and Luke as well. So it's not just in Matthew, it's in the other synoptic gospels as well, in Mark 12 and Luke 10. So it's all through Jesus' message. What he really wants us to be about, his great commandment to us as Christians, is to love God and love others. And then Paul picks this up, and he mentions in Romans 13:9, as well as Galatians 5:14, something similar. Does anyone have fast fingers and want to flip to those or scroll? So flip or scroll to Romans 13:9 or Galatians 5:14. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you very much. So all these other commands are some, there's this greater, higher, summary rule that governs all, which is if we're seeking to love our neighbor, other things will be fulfilled. And then Galatians 5:14, would someone be comfortable reading that? That's a pretty good summary of the point, isn't it? Could you read it again? Bingo. And in James 2:8, it says, you know, if you want to fulfill the royal law, or fulfilling, if you do well if you fulfill the royal law, which is loving your neighbor, something like that. He calls it the royal law. The law of our king is that we would love our neighbor. Love God and love our neighbor. Very simple, very profound, easy for me to say. Very simple, very profound, so important, so easy to get pushed aside with other program agendas or other issues or other things in our life or goals or whatever. But centralizing that again as this is the main thing of New Testament life, is loving God and loving others, is pretty beautiful. Okay, does that make sense? Everyone good with that? Okay. The next one is the Great Commission. So again, we checked in by a show of hands, and many of you have heard of the Great Commission. Just going to check in on your knowledge. Do you know the five places in the Bible where the Great Commission is mentioned? The five scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus commissions the believers, the resurrected Jesus appears to the believer and says, go and, you know, the five, I'll share them with you. So, if you have a notepad and you want to jot them down, that's great. Or if you have your iPad and you want to tweet them or something, that's fine. Feel free to record as you need. Here's the five places where the resurrected Jesus appears to his disciples and he sends them out to go and spread the word. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Mark 16, 14 to 18. Luke 24, 44 to 49. John 20, 21. And Acts 1, 8, probably through maybe 10. So let's start, because we started with the love command, or the great commandment in Matthew, let's flip over a few pages to Matthew 28 and just look at that again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time in Matthew 28 kind of pulling out some of the key imagery, again, stuff that many people would be familiar with. But at this time in the church's life and in our own personal lives and this season of the year, it's a really good reminder of the calling of the church. So of the people who are believing in Christ and want to be a part of his kingdom, who are seeking to love God and love others, and now want to know how to do that, what's the mission of how to carry that out, this commission of going and doing this is a natural time to reflect on this and be reminded of again. We'll spend some time in the Matthew 28 passage. I'll pull out some stuff, and I'll share a few of the other ones with you, and then we'll talk a little more. So Matthew 28, 16 reads as follows. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Beautiful passage. In fact, Matthew 28:19 was the first verse I think that I ever memorized. I came to Christ, as I said, through Athletes in Action, which is a ministry of what is now called Power to Change. A very evangelistic organization, very passionate about the gospel reaching people locally and internationally, and the importance of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel explained. And so the first verse that I ever memorized was verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I also think the second part of it, 20, is very important. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love this. This story finishes off kind of Jesus' ministry in this Gospel of Matthew, because you can see there's not much written after it. His final words to his disciples, what he does is he says to this group of worshipers and doubters, so they must have been a human group, a mix of worshipers and doubters, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. I don't think that's like sign language for baptism, but that's a good gesture for it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And I'm with you to the end of the age. Beautiful. Starts off with the authority of Jesus, and then the mission of the church, and then the promise of his presence. It's just beautiful. That right there could be a whole like message or series, but I just want to pull out a few things. First is the authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. I know quite often one of the fears or whatever that keeps us from sharing or obeying this great commission to go and make disciples and all that stuff is the fear that, you know, who am I to speak for Jesus? And, you know, who am I to share with that person? What authority do I have to go into that place and speak of Jesus? And, well, you're going on kind of delegated authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and that authority is then delegated to the church of which you were a part through faith. And the authority that he gives you is the confidence that you can move into those spaces and share from. So I was trying to think of what's a good analogy for that. That seems like a pretty straightforward concept. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and he, with that authority, empowers me to go and baptize and teach. But I thought of a fun kind of illustration for that. How many of you have Canadian passports? Okay, great. Well, when you get home or to your wherever your passport is, open the inside cover. And in the inside cover, there's a cover letter. And I'll read it to you. It says, "The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Canada requests, in the name of Her Majesty the Queen, all those to whom it may It's this fancy small font, you know, and as I get older, you know, my eyes. So. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Canada requests, in the name of Her Majesty the Queen, all those to whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary." So if you have a Canadian passport, by the authority of the Queen, you can walk in with confidence to any country and say, "Let me in." And it's a good analogy for the confidence that we can have in the authority of our King sending us to enter places and relationships and people. Because, of course, Jesus' authority and his kingship is far superior and a name higher than any other name, and a power more greater than, power greater than any earthly authority, such as the Queen of England, as wonderful as she is. So that gives me confidence if I can approach another country with my passport, that I can fulfill the Great Commission with even greater confidence. So the first part of the Great Commission is we have this authority to go out and do these things. The next block is the commission of action. What is the mission we are to accomplish? And you can see there's some parts to it. It's sort of a go and teach and baptize. And baptism, I could talk a lot about it, but I'm told here at Pine Grove that the baptismal tank is somewhere under my feet. Is that right? Is it true that you also have alligators under there for if I go over time, you're going to pull the thing? Ah, okay. Trap door. That's right. So, yeah, and I'm told that when baptisms happen here, it's a great chance to have a real wonderful moment where people remember the gospel together and you hear or see it enacted where there's people sitting around the tank. And it's this wonderful, I find baptisms, maybe you remember your own baptism. It's a moment when in the life of the church, the clarion call of the gospel to commit your life to serving Jesus and being known as his follower is sort of announced to the world, to your church and so on. It's just such a beautiful moment. So I could go on and on. This isn't a sermon on baptism. It's a sermon on the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But the Great Commission includes baptizing people. And it also involves teaching people. And so the importance of teaching people in this passage is laid out as teaching people to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. So a great, you know, study when you first come to Christ is, okay, what has Jesus commanded? And we went through a quick few of how he commands us to love God and love others. But there's more commands. And it's a wonderful lifelong study of learning to live out what Jesus commands. But that's part of what we're expected to do as individuals in a church. Church corporately and church individually. So in the authority of Jesus Christ, we're sent out to baptize and teach. And we're not sent out to baptize and teach alone. We are sent out to baptize and teach with the promise of his presence. And that is a wonderful thing. In fact, the presence of Jesus can uniquely be experienced, perhaps in a way, maybe the presence of Jesus can be uniquely experienced only when on Great Commission. There's a way in which his presence with you, when you're living the fulfillment of the Great Commission, where your life's purpose and behavior and kind of mission is all about going and baptizing and teaching and making his name famous, there's a way that you sense his nearness. You see things happen that are just special. And I know that I've been trying my best to be fulfilling the Great Commission, as I understand it, since 1998, when I came to Christ. I've been in parachurch ministries with Youth for Christ in a secular high school for 4 years. I've 4 years on a campus at University of Western Ontario, working with athletes and other students as well. I've been in mega churches. I've been in modest churches. And across the board, I've been trying to use my gifts and abilities and my life that God has given me to fulfill the Great Commandment and the Great Commission and to try to live that out. And there's been this wonderful experience through ups and downs and hard times and stuff that I know that I know that I know that God is with me. And there's this amazing experience when you know God's with you, it gives you great joy and great confidence, even through the ups and downs. And as we know, we can be honest, not just in our personal lives, but in the history of the church on mission, there's been hard times. In fact, last Sunday was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, where we remember people, whether it's through suffering or systematic persecution or explicit violence against people for their faith. All around the world, our brothers and sisters have it pretty rough, but they're trying to stay the course, as we are. Our challenges are different here in Canada, but the challenge is there, but so is his presence. So these are two themes of Jesus' teaching that, while they may look separate, they really go together. And so what you see as you look on these passages is you see the call of Jesus on individual and community to both love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength and their neighbor as their self. And as they're doing that, to take that love and share it with the world through the Great Commission. You see how that comes together? And that can be applied in many different ways in many different churches. But at this time, I thought it was worth sharing. I know we're kind of approaching the end of the service, but before we conclude, I'd like to just give a moment, as I did for the Great Commandment, for the Great Commission, and give you an opportunity to perhaps reflect on your spiritual life right now and thank God for the opportunities you've had to be a part of the Great Commission. Also, you may, with that, want to reflect and really ask the Lord's help and forgiveness for not making the Great Commission as important as it might be or should be, and ask his help to recommit or deeply commit to the Great Commission. I'm going to give a clock minute for that, and then I'll pray, and then I have just one final thought before we conclude. Lord Jesus, the heart of a disciple is to love you and love others and to fulfill your commission in the world. And many of us, if not all of us, deeply desire to be in that zone, to have that DNA in our spiritual lives, so that not only we grow according to that pattern, but the spiritual reproduction we carry out through leading people to Christ, discipling them, serving, ministering, we know that the replication is accurate and healthy because it reflects that original DNA. So Lord, I ask, and we all ask, I believe, your help in committing ourselves to the Great Commission, whether it's new expressions, new gifts, new experiences, better alignment, deeper purpose, deeper conviction, deeper passion, broader expansion. Lord, we just pray you would take us deeper and stronger into the core of being disciples who fulfill your Great Commission. Thank you for the authority you give us, for the mission you call us to in it, and the promise of your presence with us. Thank you for the grace and power to do it, for your Spirit that fills us and sends us out. Because I believe, Holy Spirit, you are a purifying Spirit and you are a sending Spirit. So, Lord, I pray you would send us in Jesus' name. Amen. A few final thoughts for us all here, as I do think it's kind of a neat time for us all because, you know, here I am trying to figure out where God has me for my next ministry. And maybe you're in a similar spot. You're thinking, what does God have next for you in your life and ministry? And I think it's a really natural time to really rally around those truths of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission and really dedicate ourselves to those. In John 20:21, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And whatever we're doing, we want to be sent people of Jesus to love God and love others and build his kingdom. So I think that's a wonderful thing to be praying for in our individual lives. Now, I'm not a super great expert in Pine Grove. I've only been here 2 Sundays. I don't know the programs and people and gifts and abilities and stuff. I'm encouraged by what I see. I see postings on the wall of partnerships around the world, and I know there's good teaching and good things happening here. And I believe Jesus smiles more and more as he looks at churches and individuals who commit themselves to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Now, that could have many expressions in your life and in the church life, but whatever we're doing for the Lord, it should have that plumb line, that central DNA of that. And as we make disciples, that's what it looks like. Final thought. Being a disciple is really about being an apprentice. The word disciple means apprentice. And the longer we apprentice with Jesus, the more we're going to look and sound and act like him. And that means more love for God, more love for others, and more disciples made. Amen? Amen.